Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the centuries, the Christian church has followed the practice of remembering the life and activity of some of the people of God in the ministry of the church as we observe special saint days. We shall do that this morning as we focus our attention on Saint Mark, the evangelist. The first time we hear about Saint Mark is through a very brief reference in the book of Acts in the 12th chapter, where Luke tells us that when Peter had been miraculously freed from imprisonment by the angel during the night, Peter found himself out on the street, and as he came to himself and understood what had happened, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. And it was at that place that many believers had gathered and that they were praying together, undoubtedly praying that God would intervene and do something about the opposition which Herod was bringing against the Christian witness in Jerusalem. The next reference to John Mark is also in the book of Acts, which tells us that Barnabas and Saul had come to Jerusalem with a financial offering that they had gathered in Antioch. And they brought this in order to relieve some of the economic suffering of the Christians there in Jerusalem. And after they had completed this mission, Luke tells us in the book of Acts, they returned to Antioch, where there was a fast-growing, flourishing congregation of Jewish as well as Gentile Christians, and they took John Mark with them to Antioch to assist them with the work there. And then as we move on, the time came when the Church of Antioch decided to send representatives into other parts of the world. And it was decided that Saul and Barnabas should be those official missionaries to go out. And they took John Mark with them as they moved over the island of Cyprus and conducted ministry in a territory which was familiar to Barnabas. And then they sailed to Asia Minor, coming to Pamphylia, to Perga in Pamphylia, and John Mark decided to lead them. John Mark returned back to Jerusalem, most likely back to the family home, quite possibly associated with the apostles who were carrying on the ministry of the church there, while Barnabas and Saul continued the first missionary journey. When that journey had been completed, and Barnabas and Saul returned to Antioch and then to Jerusalem and discussed some of the problems with regard to witnessing to the Gentile Christians, we find John Mark once again in company with them in Antioch, and the decision being made to go on another missionary journey. Barnabas said to Saul, "Let's take John Mark with us." And Saul said, "I don't think we should." And Barnabas said, "But I think I'd like to have him." And Saul said, "I don't want him." And there was a difference of opinion, a continued difference of opinion. And there was a sharp argument about it. An argument so sharp that the decision was made, okay, Barnabas, you go your way and you take John Mark with you and I'll take Silas and I'll go a different route. And so the ministries of these two people parted, partly because of the discussion whether John should or should not be one of the co-workers as they undertook this second journey. Then later on, as we read in one of the epistles of Paul, the one directed to the Christians in Colossae, he makes reference to John Mark, who sends greetings. And he says, when John Mark comes to you, I want you to receive him. I've already given those instructions. In other words, the Apostle Paul continued to accept him as a fellow believer, as a fellow worker in the church, as a co-worker and an associate, even though he had found it necessary to make the decision for journey number two, I don't think he should be going with us. Another reference to Mark is in Paul's letter to Philemon, where he mentions Mark as one of the workers with us. And then we have a reference to Mark in the first letter of Peter, in the last chapter, where the names of those who send greetings are given. And Peter refers to him as my son, Mark, which possibly suggests that Peter might have been instrumental in bringing Mark to the gospel message in the first place, possibly associated with him in ministry as a teacher-student relationship, and that quite possibly they shared in the activities of the church in Jerusalem. And the final reference we have in the last letter which the Apostle Paul wrote, his second letter to Timothy, another co-worker, written during his final imprisonment, when he said that he knew that his days were numbered, though he had opportunity to move about in Rome and conduct a ministry even while a prisoner. And then toward the close, he said, only Luke is here with me. And when you come, and I want you to come, Timothy, there's work to do, bring Mark with you. He can help me with the work here. And that's the story of a man of God, not one of the big names, but a man of God who was chosen by the Lord to work with those who were witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and other parts of the earth, an associate, a co-worker, a helper, a believer, someone who was faithful. In fact, someone whom the Lord chose to put into writing one of the four Gospels, telling us about the busy ministry of Jesus Christ, emphasizing particularly the miracles which Jesus performed, and testifying to the divinity of Jesus, the Son of God become man. Witnessing in this written testimony, where he chose to carefully define the Jewish concepts, the words, and the practices of the Old Testament, making his message clear and more easily understandable to Christians who came from the Gentile world. An ordinary person, a co-worker, many times in the background, not in the limelight, but carrying on the mission, serving the Lord who had sent him and witnessing to him. And that's, of course, where you and I come in as we today think about this saint of God, and as we think of ourselves in our relationship to our God, the tasks which the Lord places upon us here in the school of the prophets as we prepare ourselves for ministry in the church. Here at this place where the church touches individual lives, and guides and directs individuals to go into vicarages and to accept ministries into parishes and congregations. To go where the Lord needs us. To serve with the talents and the abilities that God provides. To witness to Jesus who died and rose again from the dead in order to be the Redeemer, the Savior of sinners. To lead people to a knowledge and understanding by teaching the Word and administering the sacraments, the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Here we are in a relationship to God somewhat like the relationship of Mark. A relationship of ministry and of service. Some very quietly, some in the background, many as co-workers, a few as big names and shining lights. But moving on as God calls. As God directs, as God gives each of us assignments here and there and elsewhere, big assignments, important assignments, flashy assignments, and quiet, simple tasks. Knowing full well that the God who sent them then has told us to, "Lo, I will be with you to the end of time." And assured that the same God who through Jesus Christ said, "I will give you power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will then be my witnesses," that same God has promised power to you and to me as the Holy Spirit comes to us and continues to come to equip us, to guide us, to give us courage and strength and wisdom to witness. May we carry on then in faithful service to the Lord who places us into ministry. And may it be our privilege someday to hear from the Lord, "Well done, faithful servant." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.